Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Welcome to Yoga, Birth, Babies, a podcast produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. We will be diving into everything prenatal yoga, birth, and baby-related, hoping to inspire, educate, and empower you through your journey into motherhood. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Deb Flaschenberg, and I'm your host of Yoga Birth Babies, and today we have such a fun podcast. So if you have been struggling to think about what to name your baby, this is the podcast for you. So I have Sophie Keem. She is a baby name expert, consultant, and NameBerry's editor-in-chief. She has advised celebrities and other parents about choosing baby names since 2015 and has been featured widely in the media, quoted in the Washington Post, People, and more. And she is so interesting when we're talking about how to choose baby names. So NameBerry, which I hope you check out, has this whole DNA baby naming quiz, and you can figure out what category you fall into. And Sophie talks all about that. Surprise, surprise, I fell into the bohemian name. Not a surprise with my kids named Shay and Sage. But I think you're going to get a lot out of it. We talk about buyer's remorse. What if you decide later you don't like your child's name? So it's a really a fun conversation, and I think you're going to get a lot out of it. All right, now before we get to that, just a little update of what's happening at the studio. So we're still moving forward with 7 days a week. We offer online prenatal yoga classes and re-releases. So if you can't make the morning class because we are at Eastern Standard Time, you can get a release of that class later in the day and watch it on your schedule. We also have on-demand workshops. So again, we have a whole library of that and we continue to add to that. So you can check out all our workshops on demand. And of course, in studio. So if you're in the area and you want to take one of our prenatal or postnatal or baby and me or new parent support group, we've got all that happening in our very lively community on the Upper West Side in New York. You can check all that out on our website at prenatalyogacenter.com. Then the last thing I want to bring up is we've got some more teacher trainings coming up. So we're about to start our March, April in-studio teacher training. And then once a year, I do an online postnatal teacher training. So that is going to be at the end of May. I only do it once a year. So if you feel confident teaching your pregnant students, but not so hot about how to focus on the postpartum, we have a whole weekend training for that. It's online, so you can take it wherever you are. And then we'll start up again in person in September, October for our prenatal. And then we'll go online for the winter and late fall months when there can be problems traveling. So check this out if you want to study together. It's one of my favorite things is supporting new teachers. So you can check all that out. All right. So that is enough of me. I just want to thank you for listening and enjoy the conversation with Sophie. Hi, Sophie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I am really excited. I have never had this topic on the podcast before, baby names and how to come up with them. It is so fascinating. I took such a deep dive into your website. So I am so looking forward to hearing what you have to say. And I'm sure the community is as well. But I guess before we get into that, I'd love to learn a little bit about you and how you got into the baby naming biz.
So my name is Sophie. I am the editor-in-chief of NameBerry, and this all started a really long time ago for me. I was 11 years old, and I became really interested in this world of pregnancy and parenting, and when I was that age, blogs were a really big thing. And so I was always online reading about kids and parenting and babies, and names just felt like a better outlet for all of that energy. Everyone has a name, so I could relate to it maybe more than some of the parenting stuff. And I also liked that I could look at it from so many different angles, right? It can be kind of academic, the history, sociology, statistics of names, psychology, all of that plays into names and trends and why each and every one of us are given our particular name.
And you're also a therapist, am I correct?
I am, yeah. So I do perinatal therapy. So I work with pregnant people and new parents and, you know, talk a lot about maternal mental health and just that transition after having a baby, which is, you know, really hard for anyone.
Right. And I'm excited because I'm going to ask you a little bit about putting that therapist hat on when there might be conflict. But let's go into what is Nameberry? When I was telling my friend about it, I'm like, it's like Pinkberry, but it's Nameberry.
Yes. I mean, Nameberry is the world's largest website about names. So we have all the resources that you would ever need, whether you're looking for a name for a child, a name for a pet, a name for yourself. We have it all. So we have lists, we write articles, we do consulting. So we help people one-on-one. We have a huge database with over 70,000 names.
Wow.
And recently we launched our new name generator called Baby Name DNA, which is a pretty revolutionary tool.
All right. So I started to look around that in the different categories. So let's talk about that because I wasn't going to take the whole, I didn't take the whole test. I kind of wanted to, but I'm like, I have kids. We've got their names. So tell me a little bit about the baby DNA quiz.
Yes. So Baby Name DNA is one of a kind as a tool. It analyzes your name style and then matches you with names that fit your DNA, which is, you know, all names kind of fit a certain style, and your DNA is a blend of all of these different categories and facets of names. So basically, you take this quiz and it asks you questions about, you know, your style and maybe types of names you would prefer, some personality questions, and then it gives you just a bunch of names to check yes or no. And somehow, I mean, people are always really impressed. It really lands on your style of names and then will suggest names to you based on your answers to the previous quiz. It's kind of mysterious. I don't really know exactly how it works, but I can confirm that it has me pegged.
And there are different DNA types. Can you explain to our listeners how, because I immediately, as I went through it, I'm like, oh, this one's clearly me. So, and for listeners, you can guess, I fell into the bohemian type. Surprise. So can you tell me a little bit about the different DNA types and a little bit of the characteristics of the different ones?
Yeah. So there are 8 different name types. So a name can only be one type, but your personal baby name DNA is a blend. So you'll have typically you'll have a dominant type. So yours is bohemian. I'm personally romantic, but I have a strong bohemian representation in there too. And so the first one is leader, and leader names, they're widely accepted, very well liked. They're somewhat formal. So think Elizabeth and William, these very classic weighty names. We have charmer, which are appealing names. They're pretty popular and they're very warm and friendly. So names like Jack and Ellie, they still are somewhat traditional, but they're a little less formal than the leader names. Star names feel like they could be celebrity baby names. They're very attention grabbing. So names maybe like Bellamy or Winter would be star names.
Okay.
Influencer names are modern choices, and they rise up the ranks very fast. So they go from unique to popular in no time. Names that have done this would be maybe Luna and Sawyer. Mm. Romantic names are rooted in tradition, and they tend to be maybe a little longer or have this romantic appeal. Florian, Romilly, those sort of names. Noble names are rare names. They're also deeply rooted, but they have maybe more cultural associations to them. Persephone, Osias. Bohemian names, your favorites, are quirky, they're not super common, and they're not very traditional. So think something like Pixie or Jupiter. And then our final category is Maverick, and these are totally out-of-the-box names. These are not common, but, you know, very, very attention-grabbing. Things like Courage and Nile. Though, importantly, Maverick itself is not a Maverick name.
Oh, what would Maverick be under?
Maverick is an influencer name. It went from pretty obscure to pretty popular very, very fast.
So my kids are Sage and Shay. Mm-hmm. So the, and
yes.
So what would you say? I related to Bohemian, but what would you say they are? I could be, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I read it wrong in my brain.
I think that you would be Bohemian dominant with a strong charmer streak in there. Yeah, the kind of the friendly, warm names, right? A little shorter. But those are definitely Bohemian choices.
Oh, so curious. But it's interesting because in the tradition I'm from, I'm Jewish, and we mm-hmm. name people after people that have died. And my dad died and he was Stephen. So we needed S names. So we came up with Shay and Sage. We didn't know what my first child was going to be. And then when we knew we were having a girl, we tried to come up with other names. And I'm like, well, why don't we just use the other one we picked before? And so that's how we ended up with that. Do you find that people have reasons they want to name after or honor somebody from the family, but still wants to try to fit it into something of their personality? How do they find that blend?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one thing I do really like about the Ashkenazi tradition of, you know, using an initial is so common mm-hmm. that you can just find a name that fits your style within that, you know, of that initial of the person who's passed.
Right.
Other people, you know, I've seen a bunch of creative things. Some people will, look to honor someone not by using their name, but maybe a trait or something that was really important to them. So if their mom loved magnolias, right? They would maybe consider using magnolia as a name. It's not, you know, it was unlikely that that would be your mother's name, but right. it still reminds you of her, right? So stuff like that, I think people are getting a lot more creative with how they're honoring people. Just, you know, if a certain color reminded you of your grandfather, right, then you could choose a color name, anything like that. I have loved to see how creative people can get these days.
And I definitely feel like names have gotten more and more creative. So yes. Do you have suggestions for how parents can start to whittle down their list?
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, some of this depends on if you're having a first baby or a subsequent child. But if you're having your first child, one of my big tips would be to think about how each name fits in with the style of names you would want to give to future children. Because oftentimes choosing one name means you're going to rule out others, for whatever reason, not for everyone. You know, you chose the name Sage. You might say, oh, I don't want to choose another green nature name. That means Hazel's off the list, right?
Oh.
Something like that. So trying to think ahead a little bit, you know, you don't need to plan it out to the T, but, thinking about what you might want to name future kids and if this choice would rule out anything else. But my biggest suggestion for anyone would be when you're getting down to that final list, maybe you have 3 to 5 choices, I think it's a really good time to reframe how you're thinking about it. Because when you're trying to narrow down, you are thinking of all the reasons to strike a name from the list. Oh, this one doesn't sound great with our surname. This one, you know, maybe it's a little bit too popular. So you're focusing on all these negative traits or aspects of the names. And, you know, this is really a time when you should be thinking about the things that you love. And so looking back, finding the good associations with the names, remembering why it's on your list in the first place, mm-hmm. I think that that can be really useful for then finding the one that, you know, stands out the most to you, the one that you would regret not using the most.
So let's put on your therapist hat for a moment. I know you work with new parents. What would you say to a couple who don't agree on a baby name and how might that be resolved?
Yeah, I mean, this definitely comes up in both therapy and consulting. There's a lot of overlap with those two. I say that a veto is a veto. If one partner says, I really hate this name. I know it's your favorite name, but we can't do it. It sucks to be the person in that position of having to give up your favorite name, but you have to do it because this is something that in most cases, two people have to agree on.
Right.
And if one person's unhappy, I just think that that could lead to more resentment down the line, unless you have some sort of agreement. I mean, I've heard of couples who say, oh, I'll name this one, you name the next one. But I think that requires a lot of confidence to,
yes, because what if you pulled, so you're, I can imagine, like, I picked this name, and then my husband picked something and just hate it. That would be really problematic.
Yeah. And then what can you say? Well, a deal's a deal. So I think, you know, find the compromise name, the name that both of you agree on and are like, oh, okay, this is a good name. It doesn't have to feel perfect. Some people are not going to have that feeling with a name at first. Others do. Others, you know, see a name and are like, oh, I knew that was it immediately. But that doesn't have to be the case. You find a good enough name, a name that you think will serve your child well and that both parents can agree on, and you know, that's what's most important. You most likely are going to feel like your child fits their name. Kids tend to grow into their names. If you like the name, you are probably not going to be able to picture your child named anything else pretty soon. And, you know, I also just like to remind people that your child will end up with a name, even if you're fighting, you know, arguing about which name it's going to be in the 11th hour, you're eventually going to have to choose.
It's not going to be baby A forever.
Right. So this will resolve. There's an end date in sight. And just do your best to come up with the best name. But I do think both parents should agree.
It just reminds me, I might be dating myself a little bit, but there was an episode of Sex and the City where Charlotte had this name picked out, and she had a whole box with the baby's name on it, and then someone else chose the name for their child. Yeah. So I know I might be dating myself a little there.
No, I love Sex and the City.
All right, so this next question actually happened with one of my friends. So what if someone has buyer's remorse about their name for their child? So my friend, I'm not going to say the names because I know some of my friends listen to this. Her child was like 3, and she said, so we're thinking of changing blank's name. And I'm like, to what? Mm-hmm. And she had like a totally different name. So What would you say to someone that they didn't end up doing it, but okay. What would you say about that person that had buyer's remorse? And then what are your thoughts on changing a baby's name? Like, when can they do that, that it's not going to be too weird?
Yeah. So I actually deal with this a lot. I would say about half of my consulting clients come to me about changing a child's name. I think I'm well suited to this with my therapy background. And I think it's totally fine to change a baby's name.
But
there is an age
point?
Limit.
Like I would say, yes. Like my friend's her child is 3. Like he knew his name, and it wasn't just like a name, like, I don't know, like Alexander, you're calling him Alex. Like it was very like completely different name.
Yes. So the oldest child I've helped with a name change for was 4 years old. So I think in that case that was a special case, and they ended up changing the name to something that was very similar to the original name. Okay. And so I think the older a child gets, the more that they have a say in it, and that, you know, you have to choose something similar. You can't make a totally wild, obscure change. Whereas, you know, when they're a baby, that's fine. They, you know, if a kid is in school, then it becomes hard to change, and they, you know, are very tied to their name and their identity. So with a name change, earlier is always better, but it, you know, there are some times in the preschool years where it can be appropriate, but I think that's a case by case basis.
That's so interesting. I really thought you were going to be like, no, that doesn't happen so often. So it does happen. It sounds like the people are second guessing. Interesting. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to start talking about how we've seen names change over time. Okay. We'll be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
All right, so we're back. And what I was thinking about, there's definitely certain names from like, I think of like grandparent names and then and how they kind of have shifted back. And then I think like in the 70s and 80s were like a lot of Jennifers. And then in my son, who's 11, his second grade class had four Rileys of both genders. Like, so what do you think about how names have changed historically based on when we were born? And as I mentioned, like there for a while, I thought like the Henrys and the Sophies and the Harrys were like all my uncles and grandparents, and now they're back. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on historical time names and trends.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is my favorite party trick that I can tell someone's age roughly based on their name, because names say a lot about the time that we were born. You know, given trends, there are certain things that play into that. I am an older Sophie, but you know, probably not among people that you know. You probably know some older ones compared to little babies, but what we say in baby names is that there's a 100-year rule. So names that were popular among our great-grandparents' generation, when that generation is mostly gone, start to sound fresh again. So you're right that now parents are like, ooh, Henry, that's such a good name, right? Because a lot of the older Henrys just aren't here anymore.
Right.
And so the names that we associate with our parents' generation, those are normally the names that we really cannot imagine ever giving a child. Right.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's all about timing and freshness, but I love to see these older names come back around. I think it just, it adds a lot to, name diversity. You know, we see people using these vintage names as well as new names. And, it's also a great way to honor someone from your family if it is a family name.
So you think we're going to see in like 50 years, a lot of Rachels and Jennifers come back?
You know, it's possible. I will say the names that tend to come back are not the ones that are on the top of the list. Those might take a little bit longer. So we'll see about the Jennifers. Rachel, I do think, that one will definitely come back. I look forward to when both of those names come back. I think it'll be fun and kind of wild to see that happen.
Yeah, Jennifer was a hugely popular name when I was growing up. And now I don't think I've met, I'm thinking of like my daughter's class or my son's class, like I can't think of a single one. And they all have really unique names. So let's talk a little bit about some names that have fallen out of trend, and then what are some of the more popular names? So what has kind of lost its spot? What's fallen out of trend?
Yeah, I mean, any sort of millennial name now is not super cool anymore.
Ooh, like what?
So things like for girls, Samantha and Ashley, even, you know, some of the classics don't fall as far, but names like Rachel and Sarah and, those ones, you know, we're not seeing, they're not as popular as they once. Emily is a big one that is no longer as hot anymore. For boys, I mean, boy names have historically been less subject to trends, although that is changing now. But if we think about some stereotypical millennial boy names like Justin and Brandon and Joshua, mm-hmm. right, those are not getting the same amount of use as they were a few generations ago.
I feel like Josh was one of those names that I've heard my whole life. It could have been my Jewish heritage, but I feel like when I went to a Jewish overnight camp, there were many, many Joshuas around.
So many. Well, I mean, I don't know if have you ever played the Jewish name game where one person says a last name and another person says a first name and then you stand up if you know someone with that name.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that would have been my... Yes, I have not, but that would be fun because I feel like I'd be up all the time.
Yeah.
So what are some of the more popular 2022 names? Because we're barely in 2023. So what are some of the most popular 2022 names?
So the official data with the Social Security Administration does not come out till Mother's Day weekend, but we do have the data for 2021. Officially, it was Olivia, Emma, Charlotte, Amelia, and Ava for girls.
Liam, know so many of those.
Right. Yeah. Yes. I'm sure. And the boys, Liam, Noah, Oliver, Elijah, and James.
Yep. check.
Right. But we do have the stats on our own site based on page views, for the most popular names of 2022. And so there is, you know, people who are drawn to our site are not representative of the entire population. So, so take this with a grain of salt. But on Nameberry, the top five names for girls of 2022 were Maeve, Luna, Aurelia, Eloise, and Ophelia. And for boys, Soren, Felix, Theodore, Atticus, and Royal.
Okay, I was going to say, I know all except Royal. I have not met a Royal. But all these are from my kids' classes. And then, of course, I teach, you know, pre and postnatal. So I'm hearing all the postnatal and the baby and me names. And a lot of those are there in that. Mm-hmm. Wow. I love the names though. I really find they're so, again, I grew up with a lot of Jennifers, but, and no offense, my best friend is Jennifer, but it is really refreshing to hear all these different names and how parents can really find their personality in that. Now, do you ever talk to some adults that resent, maybe they're too young, but, or anyone that resented their parents' creativity with their name?
Oh, that's interesting. I haven't personally spoken to anyone who said my parents gave me too creative of a name. I will say some, celebrity children who were among the first wave to get
Apple.
These now ubiquitous, crazy celebrity baby names. Some of them have changed their names. But for the most part, the people that I see changing their names are those who say, I have this really boring name that I don't feel like captures my personality. And I want to change it to something that is more unique or fits my identity better.
Mm-hmm. That makes total sense. I went through a name variations. So it's Deborah, but I went through very briefly Debbie and then I say that and I just laugh. I'm like, I'm so not Debbie. And then I went through a Devorah stage because I thought it was more unique. And then for the last, I don't know, 25 years it's been Deb, but I can understand how one may want to manipulate their name a little bit. One thing my husband and I were thinking of when we had kids is how they would go into a job interview with that name. Like, you know, some names, again, I don't want to sound judgy, so maybe I'll try to refrain it. But if it's a name that may not, I don't want to say taken seriously because we all have our own perspective, but we thought for, and I'll just frame it in our values, of something that maybe didn't sound grounded, how would they go in and like, hi, my name's Buff Buff or something like that. You know what I mean? I'm just making something up, you know, so, if you're a Buff Buff out there, I respect your name, but like, so that was something that we thought of. Do you ever talk to parents about the longevity of a name with them when they're thinking about what to name their child?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think this is something that a lot of parents are concerned with. And mostly, I mean, the people who seek out consulting, it's a self-selecting group. So it tends to be people that are, you know, maybe a little anxious about this situation, wanting to pick the best name, think through everything. And people like that are not typically choosing names that are so crazy or out there or wouldn't be received well in right. in the real world. So it is something that I definitely talk about. And normally I'm assuring parents that yes, you know, Matilda is your daughter's going to be fine. Everyone will take that seriously, right?
Yes.
But it is, it's something that I think about, especially with celebrity names, and you see them choosing names, recent ones, Bambi, Malibu Barbie.
Wait, there's somebody named their child Malibu Barbie?
Yes. Yeah.
See, I'm so out of the loop. Okay. So someone, okay.
Yeah. So I think, you know, that society is going to catch up with them, that children just have such unique names now. You know, the percentage of children who are given the top names decreases every single year. So the name pool is expanding, getting more and more diverse. And that for most names, you know, of course, it's a bell curve. There are ones on the outskirts, but for most names, they're going to be fine. And people in the future reading job applications are going to be like, oh yeah, you know, maybe your parents were more creative, or that's an interesting name, but I bet most people are going to be taken seriously. Bambi, I'll be honest, I don't love it, but I think she'll end up fine.
This has been so much fun. All right, we're gonna take one more break. And when we come back, what is one final tip or piece of advice you'd like to offer new and expectant parents? We'll be right back. Okay, so, and you can put on any hat you like. You can put on your Nameberry hat. You can put on your therapist hat. You are, you know, you work in the perinatal world. So what is one final tip or piece of advice you'd like to offer new and expectant parents?
So when you are naming your child, I think the best thing that you can do is think about your own name. What do you like about your name? What do you dislike about your name? That is going to give you the biggest clues into how your child might think about their name. So if you're someone who would love to be named Bambi, you know, your child is probably more likely to feel that way than someone else's child. And then, you know, that might not be a bad choice for you. So, you know, this often comes up in, you know, with parents who are saying, oh, I really wish my name, you know, was less popular or easier to spell or not misheard as often. And then you take those things and you make them priorities for your own child's name. You use your own experience to give your child, you know, hopefully the, you know, perfect name in your eyes.
That's excellent advice. Where can people find your work?
Yeah, I'm all over nameberry.com. That is going to be the best place. But we are also on social media. So Instagram, Pinterest, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, just search Nameberry and we will pop right up.
Oh my gosh, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.
This has been an episode of Yoga Birth Babies, produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Thanks for listening.